My name is Alan Morris, and we're going to start in Philippians. It's going to be our third lesson in Philippians, and we're going to be dealing with chapter. We're going to start at chapter 2. In chapter 2, so let's get their Bibles out, their pencils and papers out, and we're going to have a. This is a good study, and I really enjoyed Philippians. We're in Philippians chapter 2. And so we'll start with that, okay? Philippians chapter 2, verses 1. It says, if there, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassion, fulfill ye my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord of one mind. Paul is this is really a good verse. Let's start at it. Will you start over again, and we'll go through it little by little here now. He says, if there be any consolation in Christ. I consider that like unity in Christ when he's talking about that. And when Paul's talking about unity in Christ, it's always knowing about his death, burial, and resurrection. And what is that? The gospel, because that's salvation for the church. So in order for a church to exist, they have to believe the gospel, that Christ died for their sins, and was buried, and rose from the dead. And then it says, if any comfort of love. You see, the first thing happens to you, when you truly believe the gospel, you find yourself having the ability to love more than you ever did before. And not only in the church, but just in with your family and with your fellow neighbors and everybody. It just has a deep love for these people that they would know the gospel, that they would be saved. It says, then it says, if any fellowship of the Spirit. You see, when we believe the gospel, we become a member of the body of Christ, because what happens? We're filled with the Spirit. That means God living in you. And this is something that the world doesn't understand. But it is the most wonderful thing that ever happened to a person. When you believe the gospel and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you have Christ living in you. And it's just wonderful. And then it goes on, if any tender mercies and compassion. And of course, we have those things we never had before, because we have Christ living in us. And then in doing so, verse 2 says, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. And of course, when we talk about that, we find this is the biggest problem with the churches today. They're not like-minded, and they have totally turned away from the gospel, and they've gone their own way. You see, and that's why God didn't intend us to have 100 different denominations or 1,000 different. Who knows? Different churches. You know, there's only one church, and it's the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head of it. And once we believe the gospel, we became the body of it. And it should be, in every person should be a member of the body of Christ, totally like-minded. Our salvation is based only on the gospel. And that's all Paul teaches. And like-minding is what Satan has done. He's totally turned people away from the gospel. And he did that for one purpose, because he's going to hell. There's no doubt about it. And he wants us to, too. But Paul wants us to be one like-minded, all of one accord. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. It says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You see, we got to be awful careful. You see, the body of Christ is made up of many different people. Many different talents. But every one of those persons are equal in God's sight to make up the body of Christ. Example, let's just take the body of Christ like a church today. We have a pastor, and we have evangelists, and we have teachers, and then we have people who do management work in the church. We have people that are custodians. We have people that are go see the sick and the poor and go to the nursing homes. And we have people that just show love to everybody, all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we have that one person, he cleans the bathrooms. He cleans the bathrooms. But you know, in God's eyes and in the body of Christ, he's just as important as the pastor, because there's no one more important than the other. And this is neat. And we're supposed to, it says, look what it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. If you're a pastor and you kind of glory in it, that's not what we're supposed to do. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So if you're a pastor, you actually do esteem the lowest person doing, as far as the world's concerned, the lowest job in the church. He esteems him better than him. And when you've got that kind of attitude, no one gets left out. And that's what God wants. He wants us all to be alike. And that's why we should not ever. Everybody's in different situations. And we never go and get upset at somebody. All we do is love them. That's what we're supposed to do. Love them and uphold them. And sure, there's people that are more mature in the Lord than others. But that doesn't make any difference. We all had to start at the same place to believe the gospel, and then we take it from there. God takes it from there. Let's go to verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Which is also in Christ Jesus. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Keep your hand in this, or put your marker here so we can go back and forth. I forget sometimes. So go to Romans chapter 12. And this is kind of neat. This is a nice verse. And we're set, just remember what it said now. Where we're at. It says, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ. Now look what Romans chapter 12 says, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A person looks like that, looks at that and says, it's impossible. No, it isn't. When you have God in you, and that's the only way you can do that. That's the only way we can present our bodies a living sacrifice. The only way that we can be a holy and acceptable to God is the Holy Spirit living in us. Because, you see, he's going to guide you. He's never going to guide you to sin. He's never going to guide you to things that would be not acceptable by God. He's always going to draw you to a closer walk with him. And it's just, it's wonderful what God has done this. It's not up to us. It's up to God who works in us to bring us to the point where God wants us to be. Look at verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, through thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Just look what that says. Who thought not robbery to be equal with God. You see, you run into people and denominations, or not denominations, well, I guess they would call them, different churches that don't believe that Jesus was God. They don't believe that. And so let's look at Titus. Keep a marker here, and then we can come back and find where we're at. Let's go to Titus, and let's go to chapter 2. Titus is, go to the right. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, then Timothy, and 2nd Timothy, and then Titus. And we're going to look at chapter 2, verses 13. It says, And also, you can remember this: when somebody knocks on your door and you know who they are, and they don't believe that Jesus is God, you can just show them this verse, and it really, they have no answer for it. It says, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ." See, the great God and our Savior. See, He's our Savior. See, Jesus Christ. They're the same. Jesus Christ is God, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and impurity unto Himself, a people of His own, zealous of good works, you see. And we are. But He is God. And let's look at John 14. This is the one I liked also. Let's turn to John. Chapter 14. Go back to the left. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts. So you get to Acts, you're just about to John. Look at John chapter 14, and this shows you who Jesus really is. Let's start at verse 7. Jesus says, he's talking to Philip, and he says, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth know him, and you have seen him." You have known him, and you have seen him. And Philip said unto the Lord, "Show us the Father, it suffices us." Jesus said unto him, "Have I been such a long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, and He doeth the works." See, Jesus was just a body that God used. And He had to have this body because it had to be a human body, because He came for one reason only, really. And that was to die. And see, when the Son of Man was in His regular body, which was His glorified body, it could never die. So He had to take on a human body. But you see, God was with Him constantly. God spoke through Him. And God did the works. He healed, see. God did the healing. Jesus didn't speak to anybody, and He never heals anybody. It was God that was in Him. Thus, He was God. It's just as plain as day. And God was with Him constantly, you know. And let's go back to the text. I hope that makes you understand that Jesus is God, and He had the right to be equal with God. Okay, let's look at verses 7 in chapter 2, verses 7 in Philippians chapter 2. It said, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Just like I said, He had to be made in the likeness of man. And being formed in fashion of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It makes me shudder. It really does. What God went through, see, because of me, because of you, because of the world. You see, God couldn't even look upon us because of the sin what we had. But you see, when Jesus went to that cross, He paid for that sin. He paid for that sin, and the horriblest death a person can have. And He paid for that sin. And when He paid for the sin, now we can, all He asks us to do is believe it. And that's the gospel, see. All He asks us to do is to believe it. Just look at verses 9. It says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth." and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory and the Father. When does this happen? When is this going to happen? Well, this is at the end of the millennium. There's going to be that thousand-year reign when God's going to come down on this earth and rule and reign on this earth, Jesus is. And at the end of that 1,000 years, before he makes this new heaven and new earth, he's going to have the great white throne judgment. So in order to see what this is, when everybody, people don't believe in him now, but they're going to, every person is. And let's look at Revelation 20. Just go to your right. It's the last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 20. And just look at verses 11. It says, I saw, verses 11, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11. It says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, and whose face has, and excuse me, from whose face and earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, and the book was a book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. It says, and the sea gave up the dead and there were that were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead and that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But look up here in verse 13, it says, and the sea gave up the dead, and they were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead, and were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. What was their works? Now let's turn to think about that. Now, what was their works? What were they judged accordingly to? Okay, let's turn to Romans. Back to Romans. Go back to the original text and go on back to the left. And go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 16. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. When was that? We just talked about it. That's the great white throne judgment by Jesus Christ. See, he's going to be the judge. What are they going to be judged by? What is the only work that you truly have to do? And it's really not a work, but you have to do it. Look what it says. According to Paul's gospel. Did they believe Paul's gospel? That's what it says right here. They were going to be judged according to Paul's gospel. Did they believe that Christ died for their sins and that he was buried 3 days and three nights in the tomb and that he rose from the dead? Did they believe that for their salvation? And they didn't. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there, see. They didn't. And most people don't understand that's how important the gospel is, because no one will get to heaven unless they believe the gospel. And the alternative is the lake of fire. And that's where they're cast into after this great white throne judgment. This is really something that you have to understand, and it's tremendously important. Okay, let's go back to the text. Philippians chapter 2, and now we're in verse 12. Therefore, my brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What is he talking about that? Working out your own your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, let's look to go to second. Go back to the left. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is really neat. It really is. Let's look at verse 5. And I'd like for each and every one of you to do exactly what this verse says. This is working out your salvation, see? Okay? It says, examine yourself. Now, you just think about this. Examine yourself whether you're in the faith. Prove yourself. Know you not yourself how Jesus Christ is in you. Is Jesus Christ living in you? If he's not, what does it say? You're discredited. You see, the only way you have Christ living in you, you have to believe the gospel. You have to believe the gospel. I know that I've got to show you this, and many of you folks have seen this many times, but this is important. You've got to believe the gospel in order to have Christ living in you. And I'm going to show this to you. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13. And look what it says. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, most people don't believe the gospel for your salvation. And if they don't believe the gospel of salvation, God isn't going to seal them with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is Christ. It's God. They're all one. See, there's only one God. But he made up of the God and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit seals you. In other words, he moves into you, and it's Christ living in you. His presence is living in you. And that's the only way you can get the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't believed the gospel, there's no way you can get the Holy Spirit. And so, you examine yourself. Have you truly believed the gospel for your salvation? Have you asked him? Have you told God that? I didn't say you don't have to walk down the aisle. I didn't say you have to be baptized. I didn't say you just need to sit down by yourself and you need to just tell the Lord, I believe the gospel. And then name it, that Christ died for my sins and that he was buried and that he rose from the dead. That's all you have to do. And if you truly believe it, and God knows if you do, see, he knows it. He knows your mind. He knows every thought in your mind. And he will not give you the Holy Spirit unless you truly believe the gospel for your salvation. So that's why Paul says, tells us in Corinthians that you've got to judge yourself. Are you truly saved, see? Are you truly saved? Do you have Christ living in you? That's a way you can work out your salvation, by making sure that you're saved. Is Christ living in you? Is he walking with you each and every day? Is he guiding and directing the way you should go? You know, if he's not, you're discredited, see? You're discredited. So let's go back to the text. And just look at what it says in verse 13. For it is God who worketh in you. See, from then on, once you're sealed, it's God working in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. See, God is working in you. Let's look at Colossians. Just go over to the right. Go over to the right. And let's look at Colossians chapter 1. And let's look at verses 29. And this is what we're talking about, God working in you. It says, for this I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. See, This is Colossians chapter 1, verses 29. For this I also labor, striving according to, we striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Is God working in you mightily? You see, that's a question you need to ask. And that if He's not, you're going to be discredited. You see, if God isn't working in you, and maybe He's not in you, and because you truly haven't believed the gospel. See, you can see that again in first how God works in you. See, it's not I that does anything. It's God. It's not me speaking to you. It's God working through me speaking to you. See, because I'm dealing with His word. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. Go back to the left. Go back to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verses 10. 1 Corinthians 15, and let's look at verses 10. It says, By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, He says, but the grace of God which was with me. See, it's not I that's laboring abundantly. It's God that is doing it. But the grace of God which is with me, see. You see, there's no more I in us anymore. And that's why people, they'll talk to you, well, I do this and I do that, and I've done this. He's talking about their Christian work. Well, if they're doing it, you see, God's not getting the glory. But when God does it, we give the glory to Him, and we will be rewarded in heaven. But if we claim it now, that's your rewards. And when you get to heaven, everything you've done will be burned up, because there is no I in heaven. No I whatsoever. It's only Jesus Christ, and we're all one-minded, see. We know why we're there. Everybody will know why they're there. Not because what they did on this earth. I don't care how good a person you were or how good a Christian you were. It was, if you were good and you were doing the things God wants you, it was God was working through you, and we give Him the glory, see. And when we get to heaven, there's that our works, you know, will be His works. And the only thing we can look to is what He did through us. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Now, let's look at verses 14. Go back to the text and look at verses 14. Well, we better stop here. Better stop here because we're running out of time. So let us take and we'll come back again on another teaching. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for all that You do for us. Just open our eyes that we may understand Your word. And I pray that people would come to the saving knowledge of the gospel to become to be believers. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.